There's nowhere to stray. This is the good news. It's impossible to stray. So just relax and everything will spontaneously appear as it does. Gaining confidence in that utter relaxation of the ease that is natural to all appearances allows one to begin to think clearly for the first time. Before that, there's no clarity. There's no lucidity. There's only connecting the dots between a lot of different points of view and trying to make sense of things, trying to create meaning, trying to see how one point of view is related to another point of view, and assuming that that is intelligence and clarity, but that is very far from intelligence and clarity. That's very far from pure intelligence and pure clarity. Pure intelligence and pure clarity are absolutely lucid at all times, no matter what's appearing. And within their scope, there is always profound insight after profound insight, and also the capacity and ability of really incredible, skillful means of knowing how to act in different situations and what to do in a very powerful, direct way. And so the ideas that we have about our mind and our thinking and what intelligence is, a lot of these are just fashionable ideas today, but they rely almost solely on descriptions of the mind rather than the actual experience of the mind. They're a template or format for conforming the mind to ideas about the mind rather than getting familiar with the actual experience of the mind. So the two are very, very distinct and very, very different. There are descriptions galore of what the mind is and what it does. Philosophy, neuroscience, psychology, medicine. Everyone has their own take on it, and all of these conventional understandings kind of weave in and out of each other, so they're pretty much one fabric, and they're all based on achieving a norm for the mind, a norm for describing the human mind. Yet the descriptions of the human mind have gone so far afield of the actual experience of the mind that today they're completely cut off from the way that human beings actually experience their mind. So this is more important than anything, to be familiar with the experience, the decisive experience of what the mind is, where it is, where it comes from, and where it goes. And to answer those questions, that can only be answered in experience. It can't be answered in description. To just sit down and say, well, where is my mind right now, this very minute? Where is it? Can I really say that it is anywhere? Can I really pinpoint a place where it is, either inside or outside me? And then upon further examination, where is this experience I'm having of the mind right now? Where did it come from? And where was it in the past? And what will it be in the future? In this very simple examination of the mind, it's possible to see that the mind can't be said to be outside or inside. And it can't be said to have any kind of mass or density or gravity or shape or size. It just is what it is. It's an unknowable vast expanse. And that's the actual experience of the mind for anyone who cares to examine it. And then upon realizing that and recognizing it in one's own nature, then it becomes possible to just rest as that vast space of mind that is forever aware and forever intelligent. Just to rest as that without needing to rely on any of the descriptions about the mind to understand it. The descriptions of the mind are useless when it comes to daily living and feeling comfortable in one's own skin. The descriptions of the mind that talk about the mind as a neurochemical event are completely valueless when it comes down to feeling okay on a daily basis from moment to moment. And so even though all these descriptions may be interesting, there's really no way to understand them overall without being familiar with the actual experience of the mind. The experience of the mind is what human beings need to gain confidence in, not the descriptions about the mind. The descriptions of the mind cannot make you happy. The descriptions of the mind cannot tell you anything about the experience of waking, dreaming, or sleeping. All they can do is describe something that may or may not be happening. But they cannot in any way give you the experience of the mind. Only you can give yourself the experience of your own mind. And so to do that is extremely simple, and it turns upside down all conventional ideas about not only what the mind is, but who we are as human beings. So, you know, that's really significant. That has enormous significance. When we rest the mind completely rather than engaging in all the stories we've been perpetuating about ourselves and our mind, we just give up in that instant. We give up all the descriptions about the mind and we rely solely on our own experience. When we rely solely on our own experience, what we find is that there's a place that is within us, but not only within us, that is a place of complete comfort and ease. So this is a reality most of us have never learned. We've never learned that really the basis of all the appearances of the mind is complete comfort and ease. When we rely on that sole experience of maintaining the comfort and ease of the mind, without engaging in all the stories and descriptions, then more and more we identify ourselves with this vast mind rather than with all the descriptions of philosophy, science, psychology, and otherwise. And so, you know, this is very important. If we've developed a habit of relying on our thinking and emotions to tell us who we are, then when we begin to maintain the comfort and ease of the mind, for most people it's going to take some time to become familiar with that and gain confidence in it, because this other habit has been developed. But even if you just said to yourself, well, for 90 days I'm going to be undeterred and I'm going to, for the next 90 days, that's going to be my sole focus, to maintain the comfort and ease of the mind. After that 90 days, if that was indeed your sole focus, you would be amazed, completely amazed at the result. Because it's much more difficult to train the mind to be something it isn't than to train the mind to be something it is. It's really hard work to buy all those books that describe the mind and go to all the workshops and listen to what other people say about the mind and then try to adopt all these descriptions as what is believed and constantly be referencing the descriptions and the experiences. Oh, wow, you need a truckload of Bayer aspirin if you're going to live like that. And so just relax. Just relax. Go against the grain of all the descriptions and find out for yourself what you're about. Find out about yourself that within you is the capacity to be very beneficial and valuable, not only to yourself but to other beings in the world. This is your true capacity and your true identity. And so the only way that you can gain confidence in that is to no longer run after descriptions, to no longer run after all the stories. The descriptions and the stories, they may just pop off and do whatever they do, spurting and squirting here and there, but, you know, so what? They're just the dynamic energy of awareness, and they pose no threat. They don't have anything to say about you or anything else. Everything that appears is an appearance of this mind itself. Without the knowing quality of the mind, it would be impossible to be aware of any of these appearances. And so rest as the awareness that is aware of the appearances. Rest as the knowing quality that is synonymous with awareness, that is the root of all these appearances, rather than chasing after the appearance itself. The appearance itself is impermanent, and it has no basis of relief in it. Nor does the accumulation of appearances have any basis of relief in it. It's only in the comfort and ease of the mind itself that is its natural basis, that it's possible to find relief, that it's possible to find profound insight, that it's possible to find the true dynamic innovation and creativity that is completely unconfined and is the mind's nature. The ways of arriving at solutions through constant thinking, they produce all kinds of solutions, that's obvious. However, so what? You know, so what when there's something better than that? Why not find what we're really made of rather than continuing to perpetuate ways of being that really haven't done anything to unify humanity in a considerable way? Why not rely on that about yourself which is of immediate benefit rather than all these long-term plans that promise benefit down the line? Affirmations that are said repeatedly to achieve some kind of a result that's occurring at some other time, or meditations that are done to achieve a result that's going to occur down the line in the future somewhere, or any kind of therapy or examination of who you are and what you are that dangle some kind of gold ring that's way off in the future of well-being that may or may not come about. Why rely on any of that when immediate benefit is right here? Immediate benefit is super complete and it's already existent as your very self. So why continue to flail around in nowheresville? The thinking and emotional life and the description of it, it will go nowhere but more describing. That's the only place it can lead, more describing. That's it. It will only lead to more describing everything. More describing your psychology and hoping that sometime in the future you'll have well-being and fearing that you won't. And more describing your thinking and what it means and hoping that somehow you can rearrange your thinking so it's better thinking that will promise you well-being in the future, somewhere down the road. All of these are painful. They're not only painful, they're excruciating. And they're the true meaning of the perception of suffering. The perception of suffering is perceiving what is not real as real. Now, so that is not only the perception of suffering, but it's the perception of insanity, to perceive what is not real as real. No matter what appears, even though there are many descriptions that say everything that appears has an independent nature, when anything that appears is examined, it is conclusively found that no matter what appears, it does not have an independent origin or nature. So what that means is that it has no permanent power in its own right. It's impermanent no matter what it is. Even the sun is impermanent. And so no matter what these non-events of the pure space of awareness are, no matter what these non-events of the non-arising, non-activity of pure intelligence are, they're equal to it in size and number. So the number is singular and indivisible. There's nothing that's ever been divided up into parts. And so as long as we maintain the description in our mind that everything has been divided up into parts and that everything has a nature of its own that has some kind of power, then that's what we'll believe and that's what we'll be allowing to boss us around. In other words, we'll be enslaved to all these descriptions. That's really no way to live. Why be enslaved to descriptions when there's complete comfort and ease right here? What does a description have to offer you compared to that? The moment there's the drifting off into a story about what's occurring, there's a drifting away from the comfort and ease that's here right now. There's a looking away from the natural reality that the immediacy of what is here and now is self-freeing. This immediacy cannot be contained in any way. It's never been made into anything. So it's impossible that it could be contained or moved around or changed in any way. The indestructible expanse is unalterable and unchangeable. It's impossible to modify it in any way. So you see, this goes so against everything that we've brainwashed ourselves in, that we can only get familiar with it by coming to a complete stop, maintaining the comfort and ease of mind in all situations, and being unrelenting about that. And the more we do so, the more we'll see that no matter what the mind is producing, it's a non-production and it's incapable of distracting anyone, and there's no one to distract. So the more one maintains the comfort and ease of the mind, which is forever aware and forever intelligent, the more it's clear that all appearances whatsoever are that mind itself, and that there is no need whatsoever for any kind of censorship. No matter how hideous the thought or how wonderful and soothing the thought, they're all equal to the expanse of awareness. And whether they're described as positive or negative, their equalness is ensured. And so by maintaining the comfort and ease of the mind, this is the only way to really see in one's own experience that this is so. And to have it be so without thinking about it, without needing any kind of objective support for any kind of thought support or intellectual support for describing what's going on. The minute we drift into thinking that awareness is some kind of specific experience, in that moment we're off into another description or story, but this time it's our descriptions and stories about awareness. And so, you know, people talk about rarefied experiences, and so what? They're meaningless. They're completely meaningless. Why go for some kind of rarefied experience when the ultimate way of being is just in what's releasing right here and now? There's no greater experience, so to speak. Nothing more decisive. Nothing more definitive. All of these other ideas about experiences are just straying into a new anomaly of point of view. Maybe it's they're points of view that haven't been familiar to you before. Oh, this grand experience, whatever it is. But that experience won't last. It won't last, and the sublime experiences are always changing. They're nowhere to settle down and take up residence. The minute you settle down and take up residence, it's impossible to have profound insight and skillful means. It's just moving to a new realm of point of view, that's all. And so there, many people err in this way. It's really crucial not to err in this way. There's nowhere to go and no one to go there. So to try to get into some kind of experience like emptiness or thoughtlessness, you know, we see countless people, or maybe a few anyway, who really feel that this is what it is, to try to get into empty states. But then almost without question, then we see something happen with that person that just shows that there's more to be revealed. And so you see, it's only in maintaining the comfort and ease of the mind that faults are exhausted and qualities are perfected, that these profound, beneficial, and valuable skillful means and truly innovative thinking come about. That's the only way. They're kept under lock and key, as are their compassionate frenzy, until there's complete confidence in the comfort and ease of the mind, with no need to try to rest or anything. There's no maturity in thinking and experiences. Even if everyone in the world lined up and said, oh, that person's really mature, if that person was still completely distracted by all the stories of their own mind, including their own maturity, then that person would not have attained ultimate maturity. Ultimate maturity is to really mature in being, to mature in knowing the true nature of being human, and to gain great confidence in that to the point of profound wisdom and compassion. That's ultimate maturity. Now, many of us, we never even meet anyone who has this ultimate maturity in our entire life. This is true for most people on earth. They'll never meet anyone like that. And so when we do meet someone like that, it's a momentous occasion. It's really a momentous occasion. And why is it a momentous occasion? It's a momentous occasion because they're another human being just like us. So when we see someone who has attained ultimate maturity, we can say, well, they're a human being just like me. And if they have attained ultimate maturity, that means I can too. And so that's really a momentous occasion and one to take advantage of, if that's possible, because we can learn a great deal from a person like that. We can learn a great deal from that situation. We can learn things we'll never learn anywhere else. So, you know, it's really good to take complete advantage in every way possible, because it will definitely be the most important thing that ever happens in your life. Without any question. It will encourage that which makes all else possible. It will cultivate in you that which makes all else possible and doable. Plus, there you'll find complete mastery over all the things that have troubled you and ailed you, whether it's physical or mental. So this is a relationship to cherish, cultivate, and make everything of. Use it as much as possible to support you in every kind of way. No matter what appears in the vast expanse of mind, it's like a mirage or a dream. It's completely temporary in nature. And even though there are these different states that are described as being the states that a typical human being goes through on a daily basis, waking, dreaming, and sleeping, I'd like you to show me where dreaming ends. If everything that appears within awareness is like a mirage or a dream, then which part is the dream? And so, you know, the more one gains confidence in the effortless ease of the mind, then you know the score on that one. Now, the dreams that we have at night that we sometimes take to be different than the other part of the day when we're running around, well, we start to see more and more the likeness of all these different parts of the day. And then, too, when we're maintaining the comfort and ease of the natural mind, then we start to see a change in our dreams. The true purpose of the dream, all of the dream, all phenomenal appearances, is to support in resting as awareness and gaining confidence in that. Now, when we really begin to acknowledge and recognize what's real about the nature of reality, our lives become more beneficial and valuable to us and to others. And with that, our dreams change, and this benefit and value that we're demonstrating during waking life starts to appear in our dreams. So it isn't just during our waking life when we're running around, but we'll dream of all kinds of situations where we're being of benefit and helping others rather than just the regular old dreams of nonsense. And but you see, all these dreams that seem so out there, they're all great supports for resting as awareness. They're actually helping us to maintain the comfort and ease of our mind by resolving a lot of things that, even with our incredible ability to think of all kinds of phantasmagoria, we can never come up with some of the things that happen in dreams, right? Whatever it is, it's A-okay. And when we wake up in the morning, if we feel a little like we're going through some kind of transition from one part of the dream to the other, well, that's just a dreamlike too. And whatever supports your resting, that's perfect. If it's reading a text or whatever it is, it's perfect. Do whatever makes it easiest for you to maintain that comfort and ease of awareness. Some people don't need to try to maintain awareness. And they just listen to the free downloads and read the texts, or just listen to the free downloads and conviction dawns, confidence comes about. And, you know, however it is for you, it's fine. For other people, it requires the diligence of resting as awareness, or a combination of rest and the texts and support of the community and the teacher. Whatever it is, it's fine. Just do what you enjoy, what you feel naturally drawn to. Doesn't need to be a big production. Just flow along with nature's way. Enjoying your life as you're meant to be. When we were born, we started learning things about who we are, and so these things became a habit. We weren't born with these ideas. We had people standing over us with their brainwashing kits. And but these people were usually well-intended. You know, they were just trying to help us out and sharing whatever they knew. And so that's all that could be shared. And people can only share what their own experience is. So this is what was shared with most of us. We weren't supported in maintaining awareness from the beginning of our lives. And so, you know, at whatever point in our life we're introduced to awareness, then it's important to start gaining confidence in it from then on. With children, the easiest way is to start from the beginning of life. But just like with all of you, the starting point can be at another time too. And just like some adults are interested in awareness and have a strong connection with it, that's true for some children too. Some children have a very strong connection with awareness. That's just the way it is. It's nothing to make a big deal out of. If an adult or a child is completely unable to rest and has no connection with awareness and with this knowledge, then it's important to teach them to cultivate positive state. If they cannot rest and have no connection with that, then it's really important to teach them to cultivate positive states. So, you know, that is kind of the way it goes. It's better to teach the cultivation of positive states than to teach replacement of points of view with other means, like avoiding them or indulging them. Avoidance and indulgence are the epitome of the perception of suffering. the cultivation of positive states is the neutralizing of suffering. And the gaining confidence in awareness is the complete cessation of the perception of suffering. So those are the levels that one could look at. It's just so in the world today that not all people have a connection with this knowledge. However, the more people who do have a connection with this knowledge, who begin to demonstrate in their lives very actively its profound benefit and value, the more people who don't have a connection will be interested in a connection. But in the meantime, it's important to teach people to who have no connection to cultivate positive states, to cultivate positive emotions, to cultivate positive thinking, to cultivate positive action. This is the right course of action with people who don't want to rest or can't for some reason or other. When we look at the world today, we see that a lot of the behavior is mostly in the area of indulging or avoiding points of view, and that wherever most of human activity is dragged down to that level, then there's great suffering that comes about. Wars, the degradation of the environment, the amassing of nuclear warheads, and gangs in all the cities of the world, and worldwide terrorism, and so you see these two, to rest as awareness to for short moments, repeated many times until it becomes automatic, and all of these thoughts, emotions, and experiences cease to be where one finds any kind of information. Either that or teach people to cultivate positive thoughts and emotions and actions and experiences. Now, when gaining confidence in awareness, it's really important for almost everyone to have friends who are also gaining confidence and awareness. And that's the greatest gift you could give yourself. Friends who are doing such, and also a teacher you can rely on for support. That's incredibly important. And so this can be likened to the way that the scent or the fragrance of jasmine and the air become one. And in the same way, by placing yourself in the circumstance of people who are profoundly resting, then you become saturated with that in a much more easeful way than trying to do it on your own. And to continue to place yourself in circumstances where it's just indulging and avoiding points of view all the time, or even cultivating positive states, that definitely with indulging and avoiding points of view, if you're in that kind of situation with people who are living that way, most of the time, for most people, it will have an influence, an impact on their ability to rest. It will be difficult to do. And so that's kind of like, you know, the smell of sulfur or rotten eggs in the air. Now, some people can do it who have tremendous metal in the great reservoir of rest, but I wouldn't suggest it. It's much easier to hang out with people who are resting, and then gaining confidence in that to test yourself in other situations to see if you're able to rest there.